with Predators General Manager David Boyle, who joins us on 104.5 The Zone, alongside Chad Withrow and Paul Koharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. David, great to see you again. Hope you're doing well this week.
I am doing well, partially because there was good news from the NHL and NHLPA that we have a tentative plan, if you will, to get going and get started again. It's not exact, but it is a plan. And for people like myself, and I'm sure you guys too, is that we just live our days by a schedule. Schedule a game, schedule a practice, when the plane leaves, when practice is. And this has been really hard on us hockey guys when we don't know what to do hour from hour. So just the fact that we got some dates out there and some hope that we're going to be able to pull this off and finish the season and award a Stanley Cup, I think has got everybody in our organization pretty pumped up right now.
Yeah, same across with the fan base from what we've heard and seen through social media responses. And you're right. You've mentioned several times you love the day-to-day schedule of your job. It has been Groundhog Day for the last couple of months for everybody. What has this announcement allowed you to do right now? Because as we see the schedule play out, you're not actually playing until, 2 months. So what can you immediately begin to work on as we step closer towards returning to play and dropping the puck?
Well, different things for different people in the organization. The obvious for our coaching staff is we know we're going to be playing the Arizona. So, they're going to be be looking at, games, films, players, et cetera, et cetera. We played Arizona just once this season. We played them in the first or second week of the season. So our knowledge of them is probably as less as any team we would know there. So we'll get up to snuff on that. There are so many things to do in terms of getting ready. These small groups, when we do open our facility, we're allowed 6 players on the ice at one time or in your facility at one time, 1 athletic trainer, 1 equipment manager, 1 strength coach, and there can be no overlap. So when these players come in, we're trying to set up a schedule of, when they come in the building, they probably have to have their temperature taken. They're going to have a COVID-19 test. And then when they use all the lights or whatever, then there's going to have to be, that has to be sanitized. So 6 at a time. Right now we have 11 players in Nashville. So we're going to have, 2 groups a day for the foreseeable future. And to your question, I would think that once this gets started up and we do get the specific dates, then you're going to start seeing more players filter back to Nashville. We have some in Canada and we have some in Europe, specifically in Finland and Sweden. An unknown question, of course, is right now is whether there's mandatory quarantine is still going to be in effect for players that are traveling back from these cities. I would think and hope that if things improve, that maybe that's less days or maybe that goes away. What's in my mind is Pekka Rinne, for example, went back to Finland because they're not things are much looser over there. He has a facility to work out in. He has ice that he can skate in and get ready to play. But if he decides to come back here and he has to go in quarantine for 14 days, that sort of defeats the purpose of him going back there in the first place. So as we talked, I think last week, for every couple of questions we answer, it seems like we create about 5 more questions. But so there's a lot of work to pull this off.
While you don't know Arizona well, as you said, a lot of time between now and the puck dropping against the Coyotes for the first time. Is there some risk in there of overthinking it, over-preparing it? I imagine you're going to turn on the film, you and the coaching staff, over and over and over again. How do you kind of budget for that?
I don't even – this is the thing that's going to be new. I mean, this gets back to, like, what's our team going to look like? I mean, are we the same or different? I mean, to me, we're going to be different. I talked to the guys about this, I think, last week, is that when we had the pause, we were actually playing pretty good, and we won 3 games in a row, and we're getting a little momentum. But based on the season, it's been kind of up and down all season long. So is that the real team that we had going last week or so? Now we stop. So where are we? So during this whole break, Coach Hines has had a lot of time here to do what he couldn't do when he became the coach, and that's to spend time with people. First of all of his coaching staff, to get to know them better, to talk about strategies, philosophies, roles, all those things. And he's met with every player that's been in Nashville, either on by phone, by Zoom call, or even by coming over to his house on a social distancing situation. So I think his relationships, his knowledge of our team, what he's asking and expecting of them is probably a lot clearer than it was at different times during the season. So I'm expecting that we're going to be different coming back. So what that's going to look like, I don't know. I mean, some players, you know, haven't skated now in 2 months. Are they going to be ready to go, even though we have a long runway between this facility's opening and training camp and when we eventually start? I don't know if we're going to be better or worse. I just know we're not going to be the same. I'm optimistic because of the coaching change and John Hines being able to get to know everybody better and to talk to them and get across to them exactly what his expectations are, that I think we have a good chance of being better. That's what I want to believe anyway.
Predators GM David Poile with us on the Midday 180.
So while playing in the extra playoff series in the best of five that you guys will start out in, would, if you went on a long run, may hurt you in the end because of more playoff games, is there an argument to be made that it helps you if you advance into that second round playing a team that, even if they've been playing in a round robin, have not been playing playoff games and coming into that a little bit more cold than you guys?
Let me make a couple of points. First of all, Gary Bettman told us that although they, in their negotiation with the players, this play-in, if that's what we're going to call it, was 3 out of 5. But that's, the players have come back and actually said that they might prefer a 4 out of 7. Is this a hill to die on for the NHL? I think probably we, the NHL, Gary Bettman, probably was thinking maybe the first couple of rounds should be 3 out of 5, just because we should be happy to come back and not to try to force our luck in terms of more and more days that it takes to get this whole playoffs done. But regardless, that's still up in the air, just as a point. I don't know exactly how that's going to work out for these teams, the top teams. They're rewarded by being a top team, so they don't lose out. They just play to play in. But again, it's, you know, depending on what you think in terms of the parity of the league, what's the value of being first, second, third, or fourth? And that's at stake in this round robin game. So those could be very intense games. Also, which I didn't know, which was included in the presentation the other day, is when we go out to this hub, if you will, we're going to be there approximately a week before we start playing, where each team is going to play 2 exhibition games. So that would get ready for the play-in. So, you know, I think everybody will have enough games so we get into the second series. I know for us, I certainly don't think it's a disadvantage to play a 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 7 and hopefully be successful there than to go on to the next round with this huge layoff. I think that could work to our advantage, actually.
David, you mentioned Pekka Rinne. And in Finland right now, access to ice, a chance to go home and relax, but also stay sharp. If you're looking at a list of players that could benefit the most from this layoff because of COVID-19 when they come back, is Pekka Rinne on that list, considering some of those factors with him right now?
I guess so. I mean, I think our goaltending has been, under John Hines, has been very good, especially as Saros kind of, you know, took over as our number one goalie. But I don't think, some people disagree with me, I know that, I don't think that Pekka has played all that bad. I think he had a couple of subpar games, but overall I think he's had a pretty good year. So where some people are kind of saying this is the, you know, the end for Pekka, I'm not so sure. I'm obviously, I've been in his corner since day one, but I still think he's got a lot of game in him. I'm thinking maybe a little bit differently than you. I'm hoping the reset is with a lot of players, and specifically with our top 5 forwards, all those guys, high-skilled guys, offensive players that are all having down seasons, at least specifically statistically. I'm really hoping to see a difference in them, the chemistry they've had with each other, and their production. If they got back to what I would call their normal or average years offensively, I don't think we would be anywhere near having the struggles that we've had of our inconsistency this season. So if I'm looking at one specific thing that this pause could benefit, it could hopefully be these top forwards.
One thing we'll ask you, because it's going to come up in conversation and we'd rather just have it from you than us speculate, going into the revamp postseason, based on what you said about the goaltenders there, if we have the question of, is UC Saros the starter, is the answer yes, absolutely, or does Saros need to win the job again in the training camp that's coming up in July?
I think you got to win the game, the spot again. I mean, I just know for sure, if you, like, any training camp I've ever been to my life, and I always say this to the players, you know, welcome back to the start of the year, and I know you've worked hard to get this point, all this stuff. I said, I guarantee you there's going to be someone that's going to make the team that I didn't think was going to make the team, and there's going to be somebody that's going to disappoint. It's there every camp, and now we've got this unusual situation, but it is, to your words, exactly like a training camp, situation. So it's going to be real interesting, and there's going to be some things we're going to find out about our team. Some things are going to be better, and I guess there'll be some things that won't be quite as good.
Forgive me if I've missed this. How much conversation has there been about 2021, or how much has that just been put on the shelf for the time being?
The conversation has been that basically that because of where we are, and it appears to how this is going to play out, and if it does play out this way, it's training camp in July, the play-in playoffs, August, September, time off for the players, October, November, start the season 2021 in December. That's what it feels like. That's what I think the league has got their head around in terms of being able to, you know, pull us off both this year and to have a successful 82-game season next year.
And then might that mean that your league's schedule is eternally changed?
Somebody asked me the same question yesterday. I don't know, but again, I'm really not happy because we are in this situation, but the fact that this looks like it's going to play out this way, this certainly could be the new norm. We'll have to see how our fans react to it, our sponsors, any level of interest that we have. Again, as in the traditional way, like, we're sort of starting about 3 weeks before basketball. Under this scenario, if they stayed the same, we'd be a month or so behind them, and there'd be no football, there'd be no baseball. It could be a good window for us to try. So we're going to find out. That's for sure.
Predators GM David Poile with us. We love the process questions of your job. And one of the things that you can consider right now is how you use those extra six spots with a 28-man roster, six players from Milwaukee. One thing you can do is plan your roster and figure out what it would look like. So I'm curious, will your approach be to call up players that can help you win postseason games? I think the surface level answer to that is yes, if they're called upon. But also, I think the underlying question is, how do you then pick players from Milwaukee that you gain experience and you can develop them in practice, but also bring some physicality to the training camp practices so you don't bang up your star athlete, so to speak?
Yeah, my thought process is all the above. Okay. I'll mention one name here, like a Tolvanen, who was our first pick a couple of years ago, and he's really started to play well the second half of the season down there. I mean, to me, I would want him there with a chance to get into our lineup. A young player, fresh legs, you know, push the pace at training camp, get the older guys going or what have you, but also clearly thinking about the future with him having a really good chance of making our team full-time next year. Right now, when we entered the season, we were at 8 defensemen, 14 forwards. I would think we'd probably get to some symmetry, like 10 defensemen and 18 forwards, so that the coach could have practices that way. That kind of makes a lot of sense to me. But we need to, when we have talked, we have to talk a little bit more exactly. Now we know our opponent. Not that you plan everything just for your opponent, but again, it's a combination, as you just said, of guys that could unseed somebody, get into the games if needed. And then to me, it's a little bit of looking at the future too, with your young guys that can maybe impress here at training camp to get their foot in the door for our full-time audition for next year at training camp.
Finally, regular season we know is now over. Now that it is over, is Roman Josi your Norris Trophy winner? And what a bummer that the regular season ended the way it did before he was able to break some franchise records, because he was on pace for that.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, John Carlson with Washington has sort of had the most publicity. He and Roman I think as the year has gone on, have been the two guys. I think it's a two-horse race, if you will. Carlson's got a few more points than Roman does, but they also plays in a team that is one of the top five teams offensively in the league and one of the top teams in the power play in the league, and we are neither of those. I think just his all-around game, the minutes that he plays, I think it's the second most minutes of any defenseman in the league. He's my MVP. He's my Norris Trophy winner for sure. I really hope that he gets it. I think he really deserves it. I mean, Carlson's had a fantastic year also, but I think you take Carlson away from Washington, it's not good. But if you take Roman away from the Predators, it's real bad. So that's why I think the value is right there with Roman, and he should win the Norris Trophy and if I had a vote.
Are we waiting on to see if the Canada borders open up to determine the hub city, or has that been determined yet?
That might be the case. Gary, in their release, you might have seen they have 10 cities that they're still vetting. Yeah. It totally makes sense to have one in Canada and one in the United States. Right now, to your point that Canada hasn't opened the border, they've been a little more stringent in some of their rules. For example, Vancouver, it was listed as one of the hub cities, but when they were listed as one of the hub cities yesterday, one of the provincial people that is in the health side of it said that contradictory, and we would not be making exceptions to waive a 14-day quarantine for sports versus over everybody else. So that all has to be worked out.
And final thing, you mentioned earlier the exhibition games having two of them. Is that official or has that just been discussed?
I believe it's official, but honestly, I had not heard about it until Gary mentioned it in his release and all of the conversation we had. But I really believe that's the players' push for that, rather than having a meaningful game, have it test drive a couple of games before he got into the playoff atmosphere or setting, if you will.
David Poile has been our guest. It was a great announcement from the league and the planning. I thought it was well thought out with how they released everything and some of the information that they're still waiting on to announce, too, taking their time to make sure they get it right. Thank you for explaining it to us last week and going through the official announcement this week as well. We're eager to see the puck drop for sure.
Thank you. Hopefully, the more we talk, we'll be getting closer to this, and hopefully we can pull this off and award a Stanley Cup. Hope springs eternal.
Yeah. Thank you, David. Talk to
Thanks,
you soon.
David.
Thanks, David.
Guys. Thanks.
Predators GM David Poile with us. This is 104.5 The Zone.